A lot of high school football action coming your way tomorrow and into Saturday as well, with Buckeye taking on Holy Name. And here to tell us more about the Lorain County high school football scene, Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle Telegram. Tim, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm great, Bo. How you doing?
So far, so good, and I think you and I will get a chance to see each other at Elyria tomorrow night, won't we?
That's right. I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's a chance for the Pioneers to get a win in their conference, and, you know, as you know, Bo, at this time of year, you like to see the kids see some success. Elyria's had kind of a tough couple of 3 weeks here. They've played Mentor, they played Euclid, they played Medina back-to-back-to-back, and hasn't worked out real well for them. Coach Culliver has been out with he had an appendectomy, and so that, you know, kind of threw another wrench into their season, and hopefully everything will be back on track this week when they welcome Shaker to Ely Stadium. And with you there, Bo, I'm sure the kids will be up for the game.
Oh, right, yeah. Sure, that makes all the difference in the world, yeah. Well, and the interesting thing, too, you alluded to it there. Boy, what a scenario last week. You're taking on Medina on homecoming, and then, you know, the day before the game, Coach Culliver, he has to have this appendectomy, and then Brad Deverly gets injected to coach the team, not necessarily very last minute, but pretty darn close. Boy, that just had to be a roller coaster ride for Elyria last week.
Well, you know, it was like coaching by committee a week ago, and Coach Deverly did a great job of trying to just keep the thing together as good as possible. You know, unfortunately, they just ran into a buzzsaw again last week. Medina just loves to throw the ball all over the field, and it seemed like every time Elyria would plow their way down the field and with a promising drive, you know, Medina would get the ball, and a couple, three plays later, they'd be scoring again. So, I mean, it was a tough night for the Pioneers, for sure.
Well, and that's a tough matchup. When you face a team like Medina, you know, Coach Laird has that spread offense, and that could be a difficult thing to game plan for. Even though we're starting to see a little bit more of that at the high school level, that could still be a very, very tough offense to face for sure. Well,
and I don't know that this had anything to do with the fact that Devlin wasn't there, but Lurie had a couple of false starts, and they had a couple of lineup snafus that caused them to either call a timeout or have a delay a game penalty. I mean, those kind of things, I think, can be, you know, kind of like put right on the fact that they didn't have their normal coaching routine down pat or whatever, you know, who's in, who's out, whatever. And I think that kind of showed up also. They had 85 yards worth of penalties, and a lot of them, like I said, were the false start and the delay of game variety, those kind of things.
Well, we are at that point in the season where we can start to have the conversation about who's in the running for the Golden Helmet Award. And Matt Douglas and I were talking off air about this. This is one of those years where you don't really have, at least 6 weeks into the season, with week 7 going down tomorrow, it doesn't seem like you really have a clear picture on that. In your mind, who are some of the front runners this year?
Well, boy, you're exactly right. There's a lot of kids that are right there on the fringe, and if they can come up with some big games here down the stretch, I would say that they would have a good chance of taking over that lead, so to speak. Coming into the season, you know, names like Daylon Dower over at Lorain and Nick Peruzic at Avon come to mind, and those two have certainly had good years, but I think by their own admission, they would say that, you know, maybe they're a little disappointed in their own stats. Maybe not Nick so much, but I think Daylon Dower certainly probably feels he could have been a much more productive runner at this stage. You know, and then you got the two kids from Wellington, McClellan and Ben Higgins. Those two have had nice years. Wellington's kind of had a good comeback season a little bit. You've got Jack Griffin over at Lurie Catholic, who you've got to consider. He's an all-around player, defensive back and receiver. I mean, he's had a great year. There's just a number of people that you can look at and you can say, gosh, if they have a banner game coming down the stretch, or, you know, two or three, I suppose, they would probably put themselves in the driver's seat.
Now, looking at this, again, high school players, commonly they're both, you know, they're playing both ways, but has there been a year in recent years anyways where a kid that has primarily just played defense come away with this award, or has it never really gone that direction?
Well, you know, it's rare, but it has happened. It hasn't happened for several seasons. Tracy Sprinkle comes to mind as the last Golden Helmet winner that was a defensive player. And of course, he went down and had a pretty good career down at Ohio State also, and had a cup of coffee in the pros as well. But you know, it's unusual that a defensive player would be considered. You know, you got those three defensive linemen at Avon Lake, yes, that I would think deserve some looks. You know, those kids have had just an outstanding season so far, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was some noise made in the Golden Helmet voting for a defensive player.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'd go. Their nose guard in particular, whose name escapes me right now, and I'm bummed out about that.
Is that Marsh?
I can't remember. I thought it was it has kind of a link or something to the end of it, but he had a tremendous game, and we saw them against North Ridgeville. But as you read the papers, he's in the backfield, it seems, on every single play. And I'm not sure if he's a senior or not, which would obviously hinder, but that Avon Lake defense has got some players on it. It's one of the nastiest in the league.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, this is one of those years where it wouldn't surprise me if a defensive player at least got a lot of consideration. Let's put it that way.
Well, now that we're 6 weeks, almost seven in, who have been some of the biggest surprises in your mind to this point, whether that's on a team basis or an individual basis?
Well, you know, I think before the season, everybody kind of figured that Keystone was going to have a nice year, but I don't know that they thought that they were going to. They've been kind of a dominant type team. They did a nice job with Black River a week ago, and they've had some big wins. And I'm not, you know, you look back at how Keystone has kind of played over the last few years. They've always been like a 6-4, a 7-3, 5-5, that kind of team. And this year they've kind of come to the forefront. I believe that Lorain County League has been just the tonic for them. It's been a good mix for them.
Wellington is one of those teams that comes to the forefront, right, when it comes to some of the bigger surprises, although I will toot the horn of my tag team partner. Matt Douglas called for that a long time ago, as I think it was during the Coach's Show or just before the Coach's Show. Yeah, maybe when we were promoting it, you mentioned that.
Yeah, Tim and I have been high on Coach Howes. In his second year there at Wellington last year, they had one or two wins on the season, but you could see those kids would run through a brick wall for him, and they're doing it for him this year, and especially that win over Clearview. Oh, that was a statement victory, Tim. I mean, we talk about that. You got to beat those big dogs in your leagues, and that certainly seemed like one of those for the Dukes.
Well, it was very impressive the way that they did it, too. Yeah. Clearview had a nice lead, and Wellington kind of chopped away at it and ended up beating them. And you're right. I had the opportunity to talk to Coach Howes before the season started. You know, I did a story on the teams that have come into the season with kind of tough years. Midview with two wins. Elyria, did not win. Brookside had one or two wins, and Wellington one or two wins. And I asked each of those coaches, what's your plans to? And I was impressed with how Coach Howes had the seniors. They seemed to be grabbing that leadership role, and it looks like it's working. I mean, that win over Clearview has got to make them feel like they could play with anybody because of the way that it developed and the way that they came back from and won that game.
We're talking Lorain County High School football with Tim Gebhardt of the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Wait, right now, Wellington is still very much alive and well in that playoff picture, too, in Division VI. So that's going to be a lot of fun for us to follow. Taking a look at Division II, Region 6, boy, it's awfully tough to look at the rest of that Avon Eagles schedule and think, you know what, maybe somebody has a chance to get these guys. I know Week 9, they've got a matchup against Olmsted Falls, and right now Falls at 6-0. But, you know, that's a team, though, that for whatever reason, we always get excited about that matchup on paper, and then Avon ends up coming away in a lopsided victory.
Well, you know, the way the schedule broke down this year, it's kind of funny that they are playing at the last week of the season. you know, the Southwestern kind of mixes their, I'm not sure exactly what the formula is, but they always have a little bit different scheme. Every 2 years, they change it around a little bit. And it turns out that this year those two are going to meet on the last week, which is great. You know, you look at Avon, and I think everybody just figures they're going to have a good football team. My gosh, defensively, they've only given up 66 points. They've scored 265 points. That's a juggernaut, if you ask me. I think Mike Elder's got another great-looking crew. And, they're balanced. Their offense is pretty well balanced. Yes, Nick Prusik's a good running back, but they can throw the ball, too. Their defense is solid. Their special teams are always solid. That's a good football team.
Yes, that's a very good football team. And, you know, when we get the chance to speak with Coach Elder on a week-to-week basis for the Forecast Show, he always says that, look, I mean, we use that next man up mentality. And that's something that they have been building for well over a decade, and not many schools can adhere to that mentality the way that they can. I mean, they've suffered some losses along the way as well due to injuries. And, of course, when they graduate guys every year, it just seems like they never miss a beat. And, again, even though Olmsted Falls is having a great year, boy, I don't know, Tim. I mean, can anybody beat Avon right now at Division II Region 6?
Boy, it doesn't look like it. I mean, you know, you make a good point. I mean, Mike Elder just seems to find a way to have that program always self-sufficient. There's always kids ready to step in and do a job. And like you said, that next man up mentality, which a lot of teams talk about, but it really works for them.
Yeah, the only one that would worry me as an Eagles fan would be Avon Lake again if they were to run into them.
Well, you're right. Yeah. Avon Lake is a very, very good football team, and you know, defensively, they've only allowed 43 points. That's a solid defensive football team, and they can score also. I mean, it's not like they're one-sided either.
Yeah, and Avon Lake has Olmsted Falls on their schedule as well, too. So there's some intriguing matchups the rest of the way. Focusing now on Division 5, Region 18, Elyria Catholic, a huge win over Valley Forge last week, and they're all of a sudden back in that playoff picture. Right now they are the 8th seed in the latest OHSAA computer ratings, and that's another team that looks like they could be poised for a second consecutive playoff run.
Well, you know, Elyria Catholic, at the beginning of the season, I really thought that they were going to do that. They were going to make a run and get into the playoffs. I really thought they would be one of the teams that could win that conference. To be honest, I didn't see Buckeye being the way they have. They've really played very, very, very well in that league. I didn't expect that. I mean, I thought they would be good, but I didn't think that they would be maybe this good. Now, they're running into Holy Name this week, so that'll be a test for them. But speaking of Elyria Catholic, they're very well-rounded again. Their defense is very good. That offensive line is huge and very athletic. And I think that they're a team that can play well. Let's put it this way. They can play well in December, if you get my drift.
Which is fascinating because they got the kind of size at Division V that I think a lot of schools in that particular division are going to have a really hard time matching up against.
Right, exactly. You know, they've got a chance here coming up. They Fairview this week, but next week they go to have Holy Name at home. That's a Division III school with a good record. If they could somehow knock off Holy Name, that would be a lot of points for them. And they've got Rocky River down at the last game of the season. That's a Division III school. Those two schools, if they can beat them, would be a lot of points for them for the playoffs. Of course, Normandy in between. Normandy's a Division II school, but they're 0-6. But those two, like I said, the Holy Name Rocky River matchups coming up, that should give Elyria Catholic a good shot at getting in the playoffs if they can keep on the winning track.
Yeah, no question about that. That would get them some monster computer points for sure.
All right. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Tim, we always enjoy catching up with you. Thank you so much for the time. And tomorrow, You draw the short straw, my friend. You get me a couple blocks south of here, down at Elyria High. I look forward to seeing you there,
my
friend.
Well, we hope we have a good one. You know, I'm kind of thinking Elyria can pull off the win, but I'm sure that people over in Shaker are thinking the very same thing. So it'll be an interesting battle on Friday night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. We look forward to reading your article on the Elyria Shaker game on Saturday morning.
Great. Thanks, Paul.